So to get that perfect barbecue, you use wood. Are you sure it's safe? Whatever. We put the lighter fluid on, strike the match, and... Oh.
Should we call the fire department?
That might be a good idea.
Welcome to the Barbecue Central Show, the show where we talk about all things that are important in the world of barbecue. From big-name interviews with competitors on the barbecue circuit, grill manufacturers and pit makers, to advice on cooking brisket and ribs, you'll find it all right here on the Barbecue Central Show. Your host, Greg Rempe, is a backyard barbecue and grilling fanatic and loves to talk about his passion, which many of us share together. You can learn more about barbecue and grilling by visiting the website, thebbqcentral.com. Now, let's get in the smoke. Here's your program host, Greg Rempe.
Well, welcome to the Barbecue Central Show. This is the show that talks about all things important to the world of barbecue and grilling. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the big barbecue show. Special event wrapping up the barbecue roundtable shows that we've been doing here for the past 4 weeks. And why not wrap it up with one of the most difficult categories to cook, well, aside from chicken, not that we found out anything about that during the roundtable. But this is the beef brisket category tonight, and on the paddle, sitting in, currently second place overall in the KCBS, and sitting in the third place brisket for 2010, more importantly, ranked number one in brisket category in 2009, also finished team of the year in the KCBS, and fresh off another brisket category win this past weekend in Hammond, Louisiana, pitmaster of Pellet Envy, Rod Gray, joining us, also sitting in, ranked number five in brisket for 2009 in the KCBS, finished second in the team of the year points chase, also was in Hammond this past weekend with a very respectable 21st overall, pitmaster of Iowa Smoky D's, Darren Worth, and rounding out the panel tonight, ranked number seventh in pork in 2009, the KCBS, and finishing third in team of the year points chase, pitmaster of I Smell Smoke, Steve Farron, and these are the guys that are joining us tonight. Guys, welcome in, and appreciate you taking the time out to join me, and certainly the Peanut Gallery is very happy to have you aboard as well. We're going to be talking about brisket tonight. But before we actually get into the pre-cooking events here during the first segment, why don't we go ahead around the room and see what everybody is cooking on, and we'll start with Rod.
Greg, I thought I was calling into Tradio. I'm on the wrong show.
Tradio!
Get that big stuff out of here!
Rod, would you like to trade that Jambo pit?
I'm, Greg, thanks for having me on again. You know I love to come on your show. I'm cooking on a Jambo, currently called Model J5.
Model J5. All right, Darren?
Oh, man, Jambos have got... Now we got model numbers on those things?
I know, I'm confused by two, Darren.
cooking now just depends what week it is and where I'm flying to, but, I mean, the most traditional cook for me is cooking on a 22-inch Weber Smoky Mountain, followed with an FEC 100.
Would you say, Darren, that you're cooking on cookers that are not yours the majority of the time, then?
Oh, not necessarily the majority of the time, but I try and, you know, especially last year, got into the race, team of the year, and kind of flew around and did some different things on different cookers. Earlier this year, we've already cooked on a different cooker and took a reserve down in North Kansas City, so it's kind of a challenge to us. We kind of like to do that.
Living the rock star barbecue life. Darren Worth from Iowa Smoky D's. Rounding out this question, Steve Farron from I Smell Smoke.
I cook on an FEC 100 and occasionally a Backwoods.
Do you have a preference for one or the other?
I've really gotten to like the FEC for the brisket.
All right. Now, this is a question that I could probably ask at any point during the cook, but why not ask it right now, right up front? And there's been a lot of talk, especially with the show Barbecue Pitmasters on TLC that aired a month and a half ago or whatever, about brisket. This never seemed to enter unless you were talking with the elite of the elite or people that were doing high-end catering jobs for white-collar hoity-toity types. But all of a sudden, Wagyu beef has come into play. So let's go around real quick. Any of you guys use the Wagyu brisket for competitions? And we'll start with Darren.
No.
Ever dabbled with the Wagyu?
Never tried it.
Never. All right.
What's the reason to?
I'm certainly not the guy to ask, but lots of people talking about the Wagyu, and figured I'd get you expert's opinion. Steve, Wagyu guy or no?
No. If I was Rod Gray and had his money, maybe.
Have you ever tried the Wagyu just for fun and giggles?
I wouldn't even know where to get it.
There you go. All right, Rod Gray.
No, I can't spell Wagyu, let alone afford it. Honestly, I'm not sure. I haven't ever seen a Wagyu or a Kobe brisket in person.
Me neither.
All right, so this brings up a pretty interesting follow-up question that, and we'll start back with Rod. I mean, obviously you guys are aware of the internet. You see a lot of the stuff being posted around. You've seen some, I guess, more high-profile names because of the shows. Talk about Wagyu briskets. Is it just something that you're not interested in trying after what you've heard and after what you've seen on the TV shows? Or you're just happy with what you got and you're going to stick with it and that's all that you're going to be talking about that?
Well, you know, Greg, we're all competitors, and I think we all want to improve on what we do. And I've thought about it, and I've actually had some conversation with some folks about some of those types of products. And when it comes right down to it, it's pretty hard to kick my choice briskets, considering how they've been doing, especially the last year or so. But, you know, in the back of your mind, I don't know. I often wonder if I could improve on what I'm doing by stepping up to that. But honest to goodness, when you have to spend $85 to $100 a brisket to get them to you, and there's no way I'm cooking just one brisket, it just seems cost prohibitive to me. You know, for the people who can do it and win with it, you know, great, good for them. It's just not something that I've looked into very seriously.
Steve, are you along the same lines as Rod there?
Yeah, and some of the contests I compete in, there may be $100 in prize money, so it doesn't seem would be worth it to buy a $100 brisket.
Darren, you're similar then in mindset?
Yeah, I'm with him. Don't believe everything you read on the internet or see on TV. I don't have a cupcake pan either.
What? All right, so we're going to move into the pre-cooking events. Once again, we're joined by Darren Worth from Iowa Smoky D, Steve Farron of Ice Mill Smoke, and Rod Gray of Pellet Envy. By the way, if you lived under a rock last year following competition barbecue, they finished 1, 2, 3, respectively, in Team of the Year points race chase for 2009. We'll start with Darren for this question. Whole packers or flats for competition, Darren?
Well, actually, you know, whole packers, but we separate them out. You know,
well,
so,
wait. Don't get ahead of the questions. Just answer the question.
Whole packers.
All right, yeah. Steve.
Sometimes. Whole packers, all the time.
And Rod, whole packers or flats?
Absolutely. Big whole packer briskets.
Now, have you guys ever messed around with flats before, or is it just something that you've never bothered to mess around with? Steve?
I've played with them, but I prefer the whole.
Rod, ever messed around with flats in competition before?
Not in competition. We'll cook flats. You know, we do, unlike Darren and now Steve, we do very little catering, but once in a while we'll do a little catering, and it's easier to process those flats. But no, I can't recall having ever cooked a flat in competition.
All right, Darren, I have a feeling I know where we're going to go here in the next few questions, so that's fine, and we'll wait for that. But we'll go back to you. Are you using a specific purveyor for the brisket that you're using, or do you just go to the big wholesale clubs and buy by eyeball, and we'll go to Darren?
You know, I mean, we cook about 20, 25 cases of brisket a week now at the restaurant, so I'm able to cull through. Now, some weeks are IBP, some weeks are Swifts, National Beefs. It really doesn't matter. A good quality brisket's a good quality brisket. So, you know, I don't think I've in a long while, I haven't been to the big purveyors or the, you know, discount store or the warehouse stores to buy a brisket, except for when I'm traveling. If I'm out traveling, that's, you know, that's going to be the only place to really find them.
Rod, do you have a specific beef purveyor, or are you going to the wholesale clubs too?
No, I'm very lucky. In Kansas City, there's a wholesaler named Scavuzzo's. And John Scavuzzo, the owner, great guy, tons of beef knowledge. And I'm lucky enough that I'm buying certified Angus beef. I'm buying Swift for a specific reason we can talk about when you're ready. But I get them through John by the case. The upside is I've got some good briskets in there. The downside is I've got some bad briskets in a case. So that's just the way it works for me.
And Steve, specific meat purveyor, or are you using wholesale clubs?
I actually use brand beef that I get from a local wholesaler who's kind enough to age it for me. You know, I don't have a fridge to dedicate to aging meat, so it's nice that he can do that for me. When I'm traveling, I try to count on Rod Gray, right, Rod?
I think you beat me with some of my briskets not too long ago, Steve.
I think maybe I did.
Oh, the wonderment sharing of barbecue and getting stabbed right in the face with barbecue all at the same time. All right, Steve, we'll go back to you for this question. How many briskets are you cooking for a competition?
I cook two, always.
Two, always. Darren?
Two.
Two. And Rod?
Yes. Two, always. Never more, never less. And by the way, Greg, both these guys have beaten me with meat. I've brought them multiple times.
And shared the prize winnings, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on those checks.
In the mail.
Of course. Always in the mail. Now, when you're looking at the briskets...
I'm rich with their friendship, Greg. That's the thing.
Oh, look at... Man, that's what I'm talking about. Rich with friendship. I can weed through the BS, Rod, with the best of them. All right, so when you're looking at the briskets themselves, what are you looking for? What are you eyeballing when you're looking to actually pick the ones out that you're going to be taking on the road with you to the competitions? We'll go back to Rod.
Well, I've got a couple things. I'm looking for a specific size. I'm looking for about a 15-pound whole brisket, maybe a little larger. That's a timing thing for me. A brisket that size put on at the time I put it on comes off the time I usually want it to come off of. The other thing I'm looking for is I'm looking for the thickness of the flat. I would prefer to have a flat that's really thick. Beyond that, I don't really look at the marbling inside the package anymore. I don't really look at the point for any reason. I'm just wanting a 15-pound whole brisket with a thick flat.
What about you, Steve?
I use smaller briskets than Rod. They're usually around 12 to 13 pounds. And I do look for the marbling and a thicker flat. That's about it, really. I like a nice flexible brisket. If you have pick one up and it's kind of tough, I mean, you can feel it.
So you want to stay away from the stiff meat?
Yeah.
Darren?
You know, I guess my opposite of Rod, I'm going to pick marbling over thickness any day. You know, I'm constantly looking at the marbling of the meat. If it's thick, fine, great. If it's not... As far as size of brisket, I'm all over the place. I mean, I've cooked 10-pound packers, and I've cooked 21-pound packers. You know, I'm just all over the place. It really comes down to what's looking good that week that's coming through and that has a lot of marbling and isn't paper thin, but, you know, has some at least what I'll say is maybe a minimum of an inch thick on the flat.
All right, we'll go ahead and stay with Darren here. We're getting in the trimming process here of the brisket. First off, are you separating the point and the flat at this point of the cook?
Yes, right from the beginning. Usually I'm trying to do it in the restaurant even before I leave for the contest. I'm trimming off the flat, really not doing much to the flat, and I'm trimming down that point, trimming almost all the visible fat off that point.
Steve?
I do not separate them to cook them. And I trim most of the fat off the point and a very... pretty good amount of the fat off the flat as well. And even between the two sections, I like to trim it out.
And Rod?
I'm cooking the whole brisket. No separation during the cooking process.
What's your trimming process like?
You take a knife in your right hand, if you're right-handed, preferably sharp, and you start working away. I trim a lot of fat off the point. I do not trim a thing off the flat. End of the whole brisket.
All right, we'll go to Steve, starting with this question. Does anyone, or Steve, are you injecting your brisket during this prep process?
Yes, I inject with Fab B.
Fab B, all right. Old school, the one that started it all, right?
Yeah, he sure did.
Steve sponsored by Fab.
Oh, even better. Shout out to Fab.
There you go. Ingredientstore.com.
There you go. Darren, you injecting?
You know, we started with the Fab a long time ago, but we've switched over to the Butcher's product in the last probably 2 years and really been happy with the Butcher's product.
Are you finding it a better taste profile or a better presentation profile or both?
Well, Greg, as far as taste, people that know me, I don't eat barbecue, my competition barbecue. I've never tasted, I can't say, maybe I've taken one bite of brisket in the last 2 or 3 years. I don't taste it. You know, when I'm turning in stuff, whether it's pork, chicken, ribs, whatever, I don't taste it. You know, I can't stand the taste of competition barbecue. You know, so, you know, as far as taste, not there. As far as looks, you know, Fab actually made, you know, the brisket just as juicy as the butcher's. But I had a tendency to, with the color in there, a tendency to get some injection marks and some mm-hmm. pooling and stuff that I don't find with the butchers.
Rod, are you injecting?
I do. I do inject. Interesting, back Joe Ames was creating the Fab products, and Extreme Pork in 2002 was one of two teams that were the guinea pigs during that process. So basically, I've injected my brisket from day one. I'm using David Buska's products, the butcher's products. I love them. I just think David does a great job with them.
All right. Anybody set their briskets out to kind of warm up or come up to room temperature before we start any type of rubbing process? And we'll go to Darren for that.
No. Right out of the refrigerator, into the smoker.
Steve, you letting it set out for any reason?
No.
Rod?
Not at all.
No, right out of the fridge.
All right, how far?
No warm-up time.
No warm-up time. All right. How far in advance are you rubbing the brisket prior to going on the cooker? And we'll go back to Rod.
Oh, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday, you take them out of the fridge and rub them a little bit just for luck and put them back.
He said brisket rub.
Oh, brisket. Minimum of 4 hours before it's time to cook them.
Darren, how long in advance are you rubbing your butt or your brisket? Sorry.
How'd you know I was rubbing my butt?
I'm sorry.
No. You know, brisket, usually I'm going to guess, and I'm not an exact science, I'm not quite as anal as Rod is, so I'm going to guess on average hour and a half, 2 hours tops.
Steve, what's your rub time?
4 to 6 hours prior to going in the smoker.
All right, using your own rub, or do you use a commercial brand that is already made that you take with you? And we'll go back to Steve to start.
I use the Slabs Wow Up Your Cow.
Wow, Slabs. Shout out to Darren or to Kyle from last week. Darren.
Smoking Guns Hot. Used it for years. Don't use anything else.
Smoking Guns Hot. And Rod.
I am in the Iowa Smoky D camp. I'm a Smoking Guns Hot guy. All great, great, great all-purpose rub. Used it from day one.
Darren, where can you get that rub at?
SmokingGunsBBQ.com.
Or any of the barbecue stores around.
Now, is the rub that you're using for the brisket specifically different than what you would use on your other stuff? And we'll go back and start with Rod.
No, absolutely not. I use Smoking Guns Hot on 3 of my 4 categories, but it's Smoking Guns Hot, the word hot to me is a little bit of a misnomer, and I think Phil would agree that if he had to do it over again, he would change that name. But it's just a really great, all-purpose, well-balanced rub.
Darren, is your brisket rub specific for brisket, or you use it on other stuff?
Everything, across the board, never changed.
Steve?
I only use it for brisket.
Ah, see, there we go. A little change up there. All right, anything else before we close out this section? Anything else you're doing prior to going on the cooker that you're doing preparation-wise on the brisket? And we'll start with Steve.
I do use horseradish mustard as a slather before I put my rub on.
Horseradish mustard?
Yes.
Do you find that heat carries over a little bit in the finished product?
I believe it does.
All right. Darren, anything else?
Nothing special. I mean, I do like to, before I inject the brisket, I do like to wrap it many times in Saran wrap, and then I inject through the plastic. And it just seems to take that, keeps that injection next to the meat, and then after you let it sit for a few hours, it seems like most of that injection's gone, whether it's going back into the meat or whatever. And that's really the only thing different. No extra, you know, slathers or anything.
Rod, anything else you're doing before going on the cooker?
Yeah, I go over to Steve's and I get some of that mustard for my hot dog right before. But other than that, no.
Awesome.
No, you've got all my prep.
All right, there we go. We've covered the pre-cook or the preparation section here. So, guys, go ahead and hang back here for about 3.5 minutes. Grab a cold beer if you're so inclined. And that'll give me time to go ahead and remind the great folks about the good people over at the Barbecue Guru, makers of automatic pit temperature control devices. I mean, they're the ones that started it. So if you're thinking about getting one, forget the Stoker or those other brands. These are the ones that originated it. You can find them two ways on the interwebs at the BBQGuru.com, or you can call them toll-free on your telephone at 800-288-GURU. It's the good folks at the Barbecue Guru. Again, if you're not looking for automatic pit temperature control devices, they got a host of other products that make your barbecue and grilling life easier. The Barbecue Guru, the BBQGuru.com, 800-288-GURU. We'll come back and we'll get into the cooking section. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. Central Lights, are you having marriage troubles? Are your kids unruly and don't listen? Then you need the Ribolator, because great barbecue will always bring the family together, and the Ribolator always cooks great award-winning barbecue. You can try it free for 30 days, and if your family life doesn't approve, just send it back. The Ribolator even pays return shipping. But you need to take that first step. Visit Ribolator.com to get started, or call 206-999-0962. Don't you deserve a happy barbecue family?
The future of barbecue is already here at TheBarbecueGuru.com. From the amazing guru that monitors and controls the temperatures of any charcoal, wood, or electric pit to the Caldera Tallboy knockdown smoker. Yes, it breaks down and stores flat, yet it's still a robust, sturdy, portable cooker and smokehouse. It also serves as an efficient temperature-controlled convection oven using wood or charcoal. The Tallboy is designed to fit all catering pans and can be used as a warming oven. You can cook in any style you choose, like ribs, chicken, jerky, vegetables, smoked cheese, whatever you want. Take it to KCBS competitions and unload it from the trunk of your car. TheBarbecueGuru.com is where you'll find the Caldera 3-Bay Caterer. It's stainless steel and uses charcoal or sterno for chafing purposes. And it doubles as a 3-bay sink or wash station with hot water and knocks down in seconds with no tools required for transportation and storage. The future of barbecue is here at TheBarbecueGuru.com. That's www.THEBBQGURU.com. Or call 1-800-288-GURU.
Introducing Cosmos Q. Cosmos injections and marinades use only the finest ingredients, and they mix easily, never clotting or caking. From our beef injection to our pork injection, you're guaranteed to wow your friends, family, and judges. And don't forget to check out our newest marinade, Cosmos Chicken Soak, for that moist and tender chicken you're gonna love. You can find all of Cosmos' award-winning products at CosmosQ.com. Cosmos Q, the new generation. Taste the difference.
Barbecue fans travel from all over the country to learn the secrets of real pit barbecue from Grand Champion Pitmaster Conrad Haskins. Now take your skills to the next level with a Barbecue Institute Pitmaster class. You'll learn how to make sauces, rubs, and smoke mouth-watering barbecue every time you cook. Your new skills will impress friends and family, and some of our graduates have gone on to success with barbecue businesses and TV fame. For more information, visit bbqclass.com.
Forget going from site to site to get all your barbecue and grilling supplies and make your first and final stop at fredsmusicandbarbecue.com. In the market for a new barbecue pit, we have all the big name brands like Big Green Egg and more. As a matter of fact, Fred's is staffed by eggheads and carries all the parts and accessories for the Big Green Egg. More of a pellet head, you say? Fred's is the pellet grill superstore, with grills in stock from Traeger, Green Mountain, and Country Smokers from Louisiana Grills. Fred also carries smokers from Cook Shack, Bradley, and Weber as well as a full lineup of charcoal grills. And once you're outfitted with your new smoker or grill, you'll find absolutely everything you need to make your barbecue or grilling experience a success. Fred is also the creator and distributor of Tasty Licks barbecue products, including their great line of rubs, spices, and sauces. You gotta try them. You can also get your hands on a full lineup of marinades, accessories, lump charcoal, wood chips, pellets, chunks, and even the great grilling tools from Stephen Reichland of Barbecue U fame. Check Fred out on the web at fredsmusicandbbq.com, or check out their fully stocked showroom in beautiful Schilling, PA.
Get in the smoke. It's the Barbecue Central Show. Once again, here's your host, Greg Rempe.
All right, welcome back to the Barbecue Central Show, brisket edition here on the Roundtable. rounding out the last 4 weeks in a row that we've been doing these barbecue roundtables. This portion of the show brought to you by D-Dog's Barbecue Rub. You know you love their rubs and sauces, but would you like to buy them locally? Of course you would. Well, D-Dog needs your help. Send them the name, address, and phone number of your local barbecue store, farmer's market, or grocery store, and D-Dog will take care of the rest. Email that info to Darren, D-A-R-I-N, Darren at ddogsbbq.com. He will take care of the rest. It's the good folks at D-Dog's Barbecue Rub, and as we all know, the D-Dog's Barbecue Rubs are better than ketchup, baby. All right, we're going to go ahead and finish up, or I guess not finish up, but we're going to start with the cooking process. Joining me and sitting in on the panel, Rod Gray from Pellet Envy, Steve Farron from Iowa. I Smell Smoke, Darren Worth from Iowa Smoky D's. Gentlemen, thanks for hanging with me through the break. So we have everything prepped up and ready to go on the cooker. What time are you guys putting the briskets on at competitions, or I guess how much time are you allotting these to cook? And we'll start with Rod.
I put my briskets on at 3 a.m. Bam, down and dirty, there's the answer.
Steve?
11 p.m., I have an old-style FEC, so I have a smoke setting that I put it on for an hour, and then up to 250 after that.
And Darren, what time are you putting them on?
Depends. Once again, depends whether I'm at the contest yet or not, but I try and get them... I try and get them on the Weber. I cook on the Weber Smoky Mountains first, so I'm going on them for about 2 hours, starting, approximately 8 o'clock at night, on there for a couple hours, and then over to the FEC overnight.
And what kind of a wood are you guys using for smoke flavor? And we'll start back with Darren.
Cherry wood, right out of the Iowa farm. Right.
Only cherry. You ever messed around with any other kind of wood, or you just like cherry?
Well, once last year in Arizona in that contest when we actually went ahead of Rod in the team of the year, I had brought my cherry wood down and left it in the hotel room. So I went over to Rod and said, "You got any wood?" And he gave me some little slivers of pecan wood, and they seemed to work out really well. But I've, cherry's kind of, we use that in the restaurant, and it's just kind of what we use day in and day out.
Steve, what kind of wood are you using for smoke flavor?
I use a mix of pecan and cherry.
And Rod, wood?
I think Darren answered for me. I wanted to have a smart comeback, but, I'm just always there to help when I can.
You are, Rod. You are.
Rod, have you always been a straight pecan guy, or have you used other wood in the past and have kind of morphed into the pecan?
I'm trying not to be confusing tonight. I still cook with pellets on occasion. When I cook with pellets, I cook with Barbecuer's Delight Hickory Blend. I love that pellet. You can try everything under the sun, but I'm telling you, that's the way to go. But truthfully, and the reason why is I have a good friend in Southeast Kansas, Rob Riggin, who's a game warden, and Rob helps me find my wood. So my wood is free. So that's why I use pecan, and that's all I've ever used in that pit.
Free wood is the best wood, I always say.
So you say your friend gives you wood?
I'm saying I get wood from my friends.
Oh, I've always said that the barbecue round tables are fodder for homoeroticism that knows no bounds. All right. So what temperature are you guys keeping the pits at during the cook? And we'll start with Darren.
245.
Have you ever messed around with other temperatures in the past and found that 245 works best?
I guess 244 to be exact. Because that's where the FEC overnight. But normally we're in that 250 range. I mean, a few years ago we did try 200. Just like 245 better.
Steve?
250.
And Rod?
Yeah, I'm more of a 242, 243 guy. That goes way back. No, 275 on the gear. I cook a lot lower and slower on the pellet pits, but to keep this simple, 275.
Anyone based or mop or spray during the cooking process? And we'll go back to Steve.
No, I'd be sleeping during that whole process.
Darren, you mopping or basting or spraying?
No, I'm with Steve. Nights for sleeping.
No, he's never been with me. It's a lie.
Rod, doing any of that?
No, once I go in the pit, I don't look at them for 4 hours. At the four-hour mark, I take a look, which is 7 a.m. So, but the short answer is no. No basting, no mopping, no nothing.
Ever messed around with that to see if you could add layers of flavor or anything like that?
If you're asking me, I probably tried some of that in the very, very early days before I was a competition barbecue cook. I tried to learn to cook brisket, but, you know, in the pellet days, I'm like those guys. You put those babies on in the evening, and you're done with them until morning. You just let them roll. So I didn't seriously mess around with stuff like that, no.
Darren, did you ever try that in the past or no?
Like Rod, when I was cooking in the backyard on a thing, you know, I was opening that lid every 20 minutes, spraying it with apple juice and stuff. But other than that, no, just totally put them in, forget about them until morning.
Steve, you always...
Yes, I want to reiterate what Darren said. That's exactly what I used to do.
Every 20 minutes?
You know, prolong that for 4 or 5 hours by sticking your head in there.
There you go. Steve, have you ever done that before or never?
Back in the day, we used to try all that stuff. Found out it doesn't really work.
All right, so always an interesting question here, especially with briskets. Anyone foil the brisket during the cooking process? If so, are you foiling because the brisket has reached an internal temperature specific, or is it a color thing, or is it a strict time thing? And we'll start with Steve.
It's not a strict time. It's when I manage to roll out of bed. I would like to see the brisket above 170 and with a nice bark formed on it.
Darren, foiling?
Foiling, usually 5 a.m., you know, if we're working on a regular turn-in schedule. As soon as I roll out of bed, first thing I do, 5 a.m., wrap briskets and butts.
So it's just a time thing for you. It has nothing to do with color or temperature.
It doesn't matter what the color of the looks. They all look the same every week. It's totally 5 a.m. I get out of bed and wrap the briskets.
There you go. Rod, what about you?
I'm a little different because of the pit I'm cooking on. My briskets are wrapped after 4 hours. That's enough time. They've been in the smoke long enough because I cook with straight wood. And whereas I used to wrap for moisture and tenderness, while that is still a benefit of wrapping, primarily I'm wrapping because I've applied enough smoke to the product.
All right, now before you close up the foil, are you adding any type of liquid or special broth or whatever to the process before you close it up and let it finish cooking, Rod?
I am. I am adding from the old Smoke and Spice cookbook a version of their basic beer mock. I'm adding about a quarter cup of that to the foil before I wrap it up.
Darren, adding anything to the foil before you wrap up?
Yeah, I kind of worked off, you know, Rick's Sinful Marinade used to be, and still is, I think, today, a very popular marinade homemade, you know, made kind of famous by Rick Salmon. Kind of modified that a lot where now I've got it down to I'm just putting, you know, take a bottle of Worcestershire sauce, a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, mix them together, and dump it on the brisket.
Steve, how about you? Adding anything to the foil before you wrap it up?
Stubbs makes a pretty good product, Stubbs Beef Marinade.
All right. Commercial and ready to go in your grocery.
Wait. You didn't ask if they made a great product, Stevie. That's what you're putting in your foil.
That would be Stubbs Beef Marinade.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I got confused there. I'm sorry.
Well, I know it's easy for you.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm old.
That's just because Slabs doesn't have a brisket marinade out yet.
Soon enough.
Oh, come on, laugh track.
There you go.
Thank you.
Anyone separate the point and the flat at this point, not to be redundant. Darren, separate. Oh, wait, you already did that. Steve.
Mine are already separated.
That's right. Steve, you separating the point and the flat?
At the wrapping stage, no.
All right. Rod, you separating?
No.
All right, so what internal temperature are we shooting for here to pull these off the pit or at least to finish cooking? And we'll start with Darren.
I'm going to go to 203, and then I'm going to start feeling.
203 and start feeling.
203. If they don't, you know, 203 once, you know, I'm not even thinking anything about it, not really paying attention until I hit 203. And then once I hit 203, usually, you know, 204, 205, 206 this weekend, well, you can tell how I did in brisket this weekend. Yeah, I actually ended up going to 207 before they got tender.
All right, so it's at that point, you're kind of going in with a thermometer to get the resistance of the meat?
Yep, exactly.
All right. Steve, what about you? Internal temperature?
Anywhere from 198 to 202. And again, with the probe, it has to feel tender.
Rod?
This will be a boring answer, but my goal is 203. But again, it's kind of, I want to reiterate what Darren said. You know, that is a basis for a decision, but it's become more of a feel thing for me. And I'm not even sure I can describe it other than the fact that my probe needs to glide in and out with almost no resistance. If at 203 I'm not there, it stays on. Sometimes at 203, unfortunately, it's like butter, which is, I'm a little far at that point. But my guideline is 203.
Yeah, I was going to ask that question because you're kind of feeling for that resistance. Is there a point in time where you can be not where you want to be, and then all of a sudden you've overshot sooner than you think? And has that happened any number of times during a competition? Darren.
Oh, you know, all the time. American Royal Invitational last year, I had problems with my cooker, and we, you know, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning a little early, thought I'd check my briskets, and they were at 212.
Two.
I started cooking brisket again.
Yeah, I bet.
Cooked twice that day.
Steve, is it an odd game of play for you as well?
Oh, yeah. Stuff happens, you know. You can't avoid it and just go on from there.
All right, so I'll ask it this way. Are you making burn ends during the cooking process? And if you are, is there any unique process that you're doing to achieve this? And we'll go to Rod.
I am putting point in the box, yes. By definition, I don't know that I would call them burn ends exactly, but yeah, they're going in the box.
Steve, burn ends?
If it comes out good, yes. It doesn't always.
And Darren, burn ends?
Definitely burn ends, only if they're, you know, my wife tastes the burn ends, and if I don't get a look of, oh my God, I just wet myself, then they're not going in the box.
Yes. Need the wet yourself look. Okay. Good to know. All right. Any other items that you're doing during the cooking process that we haven't covered, and we'll go to Steve?
Nope, that covers it.
Darren?
Yeah, no, that's pretty much it.
All right. Rod, how about you?
I sauce my brisket, if that counts as something.
Yeah, sauce.
Not the cooking process, but
during the cooking process?
During the cooking process,
no,
we're getting...
No, I'm sorry. No, then you've covered it.
See, look at you.
I just want to know where Darren found a wrap at 4 a.m. at the Royal Invitational to get his new briskets inspected before he started cooking again.
I got them all inspected, you know, the day before.
Oh, okay.
All right. I actually had 8 briskets at the Royal because you always got to have a backup plan. And when I opened the refrigerator, I said, there's my briskets. They said, okay.
See, there you go. Question answered. There you go. All right.
He is sharp, isn't he?
He is
on the ball.
Sharp like a knife. All right, we'll take our last break here, and then we'll get into the post-cooking events and some other off-topic conversation should time allow. So, guys, go ahead and just hang back here for just another minute or two or three. When we come back, it's a post-cook. Again, we're joined by Rod Gray from Pellet Envy. Steve Farron from I Smell Smoke, and Darren Worth from Iowa Smoky D's. Teams 1, 2, and 3, Team of the Year from 2009. KCBS Points Race. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Barbecue Central Show. The future of barbecue is already here at thebarbecueguru.com. From the amazing guru that monitors and controls the temperatures of any charcoal, wood, or electric pit, to the Caldera Tallboy knockdown smoker. Yes, it breaks down and stores flat, yet it's still a robust, sturdy, portable cooker and smokehouse. It also serves as an efficient temperature-controlled convection oven using wood or charcoal. The Tallboy is designed to fit all catering pans and can be used as a warming oven. You can cook in any style you choose, like ribs, chicken, jerky, vegetables, smoked cheese, whatever you want. Take it to KCBS competitions and unload it from the trunk of your car. TheBarbecueGuru.com is where you'll find the Caldera 3-Bay Caterer. It's stainless steel and uses charcoal or sterno for chafing purposes. And it doubles as a 3-bay sink or wash station with hot water and knocks down in seconds with no tools required for transportation and storage. The future of barbecue is here at TheBarbecueGuru.com. That's www.thebbqguru.com. Or call 1-800-288-GURU. Barbecue fans travel from all over the country to learn the secrets of real pit barbecue from Grand Champion Pitmaster Conrad Haskins.
Now take your skills to the next level with a Barbecue Institute Pitmaster class. You'll learn how to make sauces, rubs, and smoke mouth-watering barbecue every time you cook. Your new skills will impress friends and family, and some of our graduates have gone on to success with barbecue businesses and TV fame. For more information, visit bbqclass.com.
Central Lights. You having marriage troubles? Your kids unruly and don't listen? Then you need the Ribbolator, because great barbecue will always bring the family together, and the Ribbolator always cooks great award-winning barbecue. You can try it free for 30 days, and if your family life doesn't improve, just send it back. Ribbolator even pays return shipping. But you need to take that first step. Visit Ribbolator.com to get started, or call 206-999-0962. Don't you deserve a happy barbecue family?
Forget going from site to get all your barbecue and grilling supplies and make your first and final stop at Fred'sMusicAndBarbecue.com. In the market for a new barbecue pit, we have all the big-name brands like Big Green Egg and more. As a matter of fact, Fred's is staffed by eggheads and carries all the parts and accessories for the Big Green Egg. More of a pellet head, you say? Fred's is the pellet grill superstore, with grills in stock from Traeger, Green Mountain, and Country Smokers from Louisiana Grills. Fred also carries smokers from Cook Shack, Bradley, and Weber as well as a full lineup of charcoal grills. And once you're outfitted with your new smoker or grill, you'll find absolutely everything you need to make your barbecue or grilling experience a success. Fred is also the creator and distributor of Tasty Licks barbecue products, including their great line of rubs, spices, and sauces. You gotta try them. You can also get your hands on a full lineup of marinades, accessories, lump charcoal, wood chips, pellets, chunks, and even the great grilling tools from Stephen Reichland of Barbecue U fame. Check Fred out on the web at fredsmusicandbbq.com, or check out their fully stocked showroom in beautiful Schilling, PA.
Introducing Cosmos Q. Cosmos injections and marinades use only the finest ingredients, and they mix easily, never clotting or caking. From our beef injection to our pork injection, you're guaranteed to wow your friends, family, and judges. And don't forget to check out our newest marinade, Cosmos Chicken Soak, for that moist and tender chicken you're gonna love. You can find all of Cosmos' award-winning products at CosmosQ.com. Cosmos Q, the new generation. Taste the difference.
Big name interviews.
Coverage of competition barbecue. And the only host willing to give his honest opinion on all topics in the world of barbecue. It's the Barbecue Central Show.
All right, we're back. Going to wrap it up here. Another successful barbecue roundtable. This is the Brisket Edition, joined by Rod Gray, Darren Worth, and Steve Farron. This portion of the show brought to you by Yoder Smoky Mountain Barbecue. They are the leading online distributor of Meadow Creek barbecue equipment. These barbecue smokers, pig roasters, chicken cookers, and grills are handcrafted in the Amish country of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. And their goal is to give you outstanding value for the price and enjoy easy and profitable barbecues for years to come. They also carry a complete line of wonderful barbecue rubs and sauces. Check them out on the interwebs. Sirius BBQs, that's plural. Sirius BBQs, BBQS, SiriusBBQs.com. The good folks at Yoder's Smoky Mountain Barbecue. All right, we're going to go ahead and go to the post cook. Brisket is now off the cooker. We'll go to Rod for this first question. After the butt has reached its after the brisket has reached its target temperature, do you look and hold it for a certain amount of time prior to building the box and all that stuff?
You know, Greg, while we were on the break, I thought strongly about my brisket process, and I've forgotten two things.
Okay.
I clean all.
Let me grab my pencil.
With brief lightning before I start working, and on Friday evening, I light and cook my dinner on an easy grill. That's part of my brisket process.
Yes. Proper pluggage. You know, you could have saved that for the end for parting shots, Rod, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Sorry. Honestly, my goal is for my briskets to come off somewhere between 9 and 10 a.m. Sometimes I'm a little early, sometimes I'm late, but in the perfect world, those two big briskets come off between 9 and 10 for noon turn-in. Chicken, you know, normal quesadilla turn-in times.
Right, Darren, how long are you looking to hold it before you start working with it?
Well, I mean, normally I want to get that brisket. I mean, if I can get off by 8 a.m., great. If I can get off by 7 a.m. into the camber, it's great, because that means I got a better chance of getting a nap sometime during the turn-in morning.
Steve?
I aim for 9 or 10, and I actually let it rest for a half hour before putting it in a cambro.
All right, so let's get into the box portion here a little bit. Do you guys leave a lot of time before the before you start messing with it to build this box? Is it something you do well in advance before any turn-ins, or do you build them category by category? And we'll go to Steve.
We try to get all our boxes built before the first turn-in.
And are you a lettuce or a parsley guy?
Parsley.
Darren, how about you?
As far as built, the boxes are built the night before. You know, as far as not with the brisket in them, of course, but the we're a parsley lettuce combination, and you know, those are, my wife builds those if she's along the night before, and you know, we're normally starting brisket to go into the box, you know, 10 minutes prior to turn in.
All right, Darren, I'm gonna ask you a question. Don't lie, like I know you wanna. Does your wife build a better box, or do you build a better box?
My wife, by far. That was a stupid question. then it's like, okay, do I want to build a box? That's the worst job in the world. I'm glad she likes to do it.
Have you know, Darren, my dad said there was no stupid questions, so we'll move on. Rod, okay. Box building, is this something you do the night before? Are you doing it category by category?
Especially when I'm by myself, I build my box, my parsley boxes on Friday night. Sherry, when she's along, sometimes if she's got time, she'll do them on Friday evening. If not, she'll do them on Saturday morning. For sure. And honestly, Greg, it wasn't a stupid question, but Darren gave the perfect answer. If he said he built a better box, it'd probably become his job.
From what I've heard, nobody wants that, so unless it has to be like that. Two shows
that's
ago.
Part of it.
That's right. Well, two shows ago, I covered chicken, and aside from not right. sharing much, a lot of the panelists, all the panelists said that they did not taste chicken prior to turn-in, so assuming gets me in a lot of trouble. Now, I think Steve or Darren might have already answered this question, but we'll go back to him just for affirmation. Are you guys not tasting your brisket before you turn it in? And we'll go to Darren.
If my wife's along, she'll taste it. But other than that, I'm not tasting. I'm feeling that thing and looking for moisture and whatever. And one of the – that's why you always cook your briskets. One of them is always superior to the other when it comes to moisture and stuff. And to me, that accounts a lot more, you know, than taste.
Right, but if it's just you, you're definitely not tasting it if it's just you.
I'm not tasting it. Or if I'm having somebody taste it, it's somebody I got along that I'm saying, here, taste this and let me know which one tastes better, because I can't do it.
Steve.
I taste all my entries before they go in the box.
And Rod.
Yeah, you can't knock what Darren's doing because he's very successful, but I have to taste. I'm not going to tell you I like to, and I'm going to tell you when Sherry's with me, she's my taster, because honestly, cooking on straight wood, by that time of the day, actually by turning time, your senses have been dulled, and I just don't taste things as well. But when I'm by myself, yeah, I'm tasting both my briskets to find the absolute best product to put in the box.
All right, so how do you actually go about picking the brisket that goes into the box? Is it all slices? You throwing in burn ends or some chopped brisket? Or what makes it into the box for final turn-in time? We'll start with Steve.
I try to put 6 to 8 slices, and if the burnt ends are good, I put 6 of those in.
No chopped or anything like that?
No chopped, no pulled, none of that. I tried that once.
How'd that work out for you?
Not too good.
Okay, Darren.
You know, burn ends and slices, burn ends only if they're good. As far as number, you know, until it looks right. And as far as slices, at least 6. Sometimes there's 10, sometimes there's 8. You know, it's just, it depends on what likes and what fills up the box. You know, the most important thing about the whole competition barbecue is if your box not clear full of meat, then, you know, you're probably not having too good of a chance.
And I'm remiss because I didn't ask this question to Steve, so we'll go back to him first real quick. How are you making a determination on where you're pulling slices from? Are you picking a brisket first and slicing from there, or are you taking from a combination of both?
I take a center slice from both briskets and compare the two, and that's how I choose which one I'm going to use. And we're taking the slices from the middle of the brisket.
What about you, Darren?
Cut a slice off each end of the brisket, and then picking the brisket and then, you know, just slicing right there. It ends up being somewhat in the middle of the brisket.
Right, Rod, what are you putting in the box? And then, of course, first, how are you deciding which one you're going to use, or do you use from both?
Well, we used to sample both ends of both briskets, and honestly, we've gotten to the point where the area underneath the mostly covered by the point, or the point into the flat area, is where we're sampling, and then we're getting our slices beyond there. We've stopped taking slices from the very far flat end of the flat. Because we just got to where it wasn't ever as good as this other area. In terms of what goes in the box, first and foremost, we only put something we want somebody to taste in the box. Steve touched on a great point when he says that when it comes to burn-ins, he'll put them in if they're good, but if they're not good, they're not going in. While I have a pretty traditional presentation and why I wanted to have some of the point in the box, if it's not good, it's not going in. The other thing we try to do is we try to turn in a box full of meat. So if we've got the point in the back of the box, we can get 8 slices in there, great. If we don't have anything in the back and it's all slices, we're going to fill that box full of slices. In theory, in my mind, when they open that box for appearance, a box full of meat just looks better to me and I hope to the judges.
To go back here just for one more second, because I know, Rod, you alluded to this here a little bit earlier, but we'll start with Darren. Are you saucing the meat or hitting it with some type of broth or some type of sheen liquid to make it look good or to add extra taste before you box it up and run it over to the judges?
Well, not so much. I mean, we've got a very, I won't even call it it's a mixture of sauces, but it's more of a glaze. And we'll get a very thin layer of that across the slice, you know, just to hold the sheen as it goes through the process.
Steve, you hitting it with anything before you put the lid down and run it?
Yeah, and actually before that, 20 minutes prior to turn-in, I'll separate the point from the flat. I'll sauce both and put them back in the cooker for 10 minutes just to set that sauce. And we will apply a small amount of sauce on each slice.
Do you use any sauce in particular, or is it your own personal recipe?
I went through 4 different sauces last year. I couldn't decide which one I liked best. We used Slabs, we used Blues Hog, Head Country, and one that we actually make.
Did you find out the one you like best yet?
No.
Good. Darren, do you use a particular sauce for brisket?
Combination. You know, our sauce today has a combination of 5 different sauces.
Well, I didn't think of trying that, Darren. Thank you.
Just mix them all together.
Yeah.
Using the same ones as Steve mentioned then?
Yeah, except for I would add Russ and Frank's. You know, it's the sauce we use in the restaurant, a local Des Moines guy here, a good friend of mine. So, you know, we use Russ and Frank's Sassy in the sauce too. And I think it's just that little, you know, the flavor and just a little Des Moines touch to it.
And, Rod, you hitting it with any sauce or spraying it or making it shiny before you crunch the lid down and run it over?
We do apply a little bit of sauce to the top of the flat before we slice it. I don't apply anything to the face of the slice. Once it's in the box, we'll grab our spray bottle. It just has water in it. And we will hit it with just a little bit of water to create a little bit of a sheen or the impression of moisture before we close the box and take it in. Truthfully, this is horrible to say, but I've never really opened it. Let it sit there for 10 minutes and open that box to see if it still has the sheen or if the water's evaporated on it. Honestly, our goal, and something we may touch on in the wrap-up, but I want to get hot brisket in if I can. You know, the judges are instructed not to judge based on the temperature of the meat. However, if you have the exact same 2 slices of meat in front of you, one of them is warm and one of them is cold, psychologically, that warmer piece of meat is going to taste better. Mm-hmm. So our brisket process starts at quarter till, but we're working as fast as we can. And a little sauce on it, get some water on it, get the lid closed, and get it turned in.
Do you have a particular sauce purveyor that you like the most?
Oh, I'm a huge fan of Blues Hog barbecue sauce. When it comes to brisket, and Bill knows this, I do mix my sauce with some Head Country.
All right. Any other things that's going on prior to turning the box in that we haven't covered, and we'll go back to Rod?
Boy, I think I've covered my process pretty good start to finish, Greg. Other than wiping my tables with Grease Lightning and lighting that easy grill to cook dinner on, I can't think of anything else.
Darren?
Well, I kind of got a question for Rod. If you're worried about getting it hot, then why is Sherry always standing around the corner of the judging tent waiting for other people to figure out who to turn the brisket in with. Because she's always hiding when we're coming running, so it's got to be getting cold when she's there.
Coming home from Little Rock, we were discussing that, and honestly, she's waiting for somebody to make a cup. It's the whole reason behind that.
She's counting boxes. She's got a checklist of every team that's there.
There you go.
And saying, okay, all these brisket cooks got their box in. Okay, it's time to go.
What about you, Darren? Anything else?
Darren, if you knew the answer, why'd you ask the question?
Darren, you doing anything else prior to turning?
Just to, like Rod said, we hit it with a water bottle.
Steve?
Hit it with a water bottle.
Like I said, I taste the brisket, and we will make adjustments. We'll add heat, sweet, hot, you know. If we think it needs something, we'll add it, finishing rub. And then, like the other two, we'll spritz it with a little water.
All right, so that's going to wrap up the post-cooking process. We'll move quickly into the parting shots, shameless self-promotion, and the hearty ass-sucking of the host for letting you guys on here. We have roughly 4 minutes here to go before I move on to bigger and better things with Chris Lilly next segment. But we will start with Rod Gray, where I can't even begin to imagine where we'll start here, but why not let him go first? Number one in 2009, currently second in Team of the Year standings for 2010. Rod Gray, the floor is yours.
Did you say ass-sucking? Because I prefer to call it creating a hickey.
There you go. Whatever you like.
Greg, I will say this, Greg. I love coming on your show. I love that you let me plug my sponsors. It's great to be on with Darren and Steve, two great cooks and very competitive guys, and I wish them all the success in 2010.
Nobody you want to plug?
Yeah.
Okay, what?
Grease-lightning.com. Awesome product. Use it everywhere. The best product I've ever found to take stains out of clothing, bar none. And Friday night is a cook-off. Don't fire up your big pit to cook dinner. Grab an easy grill. Light it. It's ready to go in 15 minutes. Cook on it. It cooks anything a big grill will cook. And when it's done, throw it away.
Darren Ward from Iowa, Smokey D's number two in Team of the Year. Number two, Team of the Year, 2009. Floor is yours.
Well, I'd like to thank my sponsor, me. No official sponsor.
Yeah.
SmokeyD'sBarbecue.com. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. And getting ready for our big new 10,000-square-foot mega restaurant, bar, banquet room, patio, and carry-out barbecue in I-80 in Des Moines.
And we'll wrap it up with Steve Farron, I Smell Smoke Pitmaster, finishing third overall 2009 Team of the Year KCBS. The floor is now yours.
I'm not good at that ass-sucking thing. I'll just make kissing noises. Thanks, Greg. My sponsors, theingredientstore.com, Sellers of Fab B, The Slabs, OBQ, Barbecuer's Delight, and visit the redrose-cafe.com. A restaurant in Weymouth, Massachusetts, now being run by Steve Farron and Brendan Burke.
All right, there they are, guys. Rod Gray, Darren Worth, and Steve Farron telling us what to do when it comes to beef brisket. Gentlemen, appreciate the insight. And quite honestly, the candor and the willingness to share information is greatly appreciated, and this will certainly go down as probably one of the best roundtables that we've ever had. And again, I appreciate you coming on to do it. Good luck to each and every one of you, and we will be looking for all of you here in the future on the Barbecue Central Show.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
All right, guys, take care. There they are, Pitmasters. They're good. Hey, they're good. They win a lot. Rod wins a lot. Darren finished middle of the pack. Very good showing for him last weekend. So PelletEnvy.com is a place you can find Rod Gray. Iowa Smoky D's is Darren Worth, and I Smell Smoke is Steve Farron. You want to weigh in on that show? Love to hear from you. I thought that was some brilliant information. Nobody holding back, which certainly I appreciate. Look, everybody wants an edge. So it's certainly not surprising to me if somebody didn't want to come on the show to do it, maintain that competitive edge. I wouldn't share. I wouldn't do it. So thanks again to Steve and Rod and Darren. That's going to wrap up the Barbecue Roundtable shows. We did 4 weeks of them. If you've missed them, go to the archives, thebbqcentralshow.com, and click on the archives bar right underneath the header. And you can start to download all of the roundtable shows. We'll have some backyard versions here coming up next go around, and then we'll swap back out to competition as well. Stick around. We're going to be coming back with the After Dark segment with barbecue superstar Chris Lilly from Big Bob Gibson. So stick around for that. The BBQCentralShow.com is the place to be, BCRN, and we will see you in just a few minutes. Stand by.